Well, brother, have you ever been in a situation where you needed to get a job done, but didn't have the right tool at hand? I mean, a pliers is good, but it's not the tool for every single job. I had to do a tile job some time ago, what a difference having a wet saw makes. If you ever have to cut one of those tiles and make a kind of a U-shape out of the tile without a tile saw, it's possible, but it takes forever and usually three or four tiles before you can cut it properly, because you try to make that score mark with your whatever you're using, and then you try to chip out just a little bit at a time to get to that. It's almost impossible. How about you ladies? Have you ever tried to cut a grapefruit without a grapefruit knife? I mean, you can do it. You never heard of a grapefruit knife? Where are you people from? Come on. A grapefruit knife is a curved knife. It's serrated on the edge, and when you cut the grapefruit, it's a snap. Otherwise, there's slime and juice. It just runs all over the place. I'm going to buy you a grapefruit knife. I can see. They're saying, I never eat grapefruit. What do I need one of those for? Okay, how about a citrus peeler? Have you ever heard of a citrus? And you know why I know these things? We have a 2-year-old grandson, and every time he comes over to the house now, every time he comes, he goes into Meemaw's kitchen, and there's one drawer that is perfectly at his height. And he opens that drawer, and in that drawer are all Pam's specialty kitchen things. It's the peeler. And it's the, well, okay, then there's this thing. So what Pam does is she names every tool that he takes out. And he empties the entire drawer. And one at a time, he hands things to Pam, and she'll say, oh, Conrad, that's a citrus peeler. And he'll say, blah, 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 blah. So now I know what a citrus peeler is. You ever use a citrus peeler? All right, some people have. A citrus peeler is this little tool with a little fork edge on it, and you run it across the rind of an orange or a grapefruit or whatever you're peeling, a lemon, and the skin just almost pops off of this thing. It's an amazing tool. I can see we need some kitchen classes here. How about, fellas, you ever work on a car, right? You work on your car, and you got that bolt that's way in there, and your socket is just about an eighth inch too short to get to the head of that bolt. You need one of those deep socket wrenches, and you don't have it, and you can hardly get the job done. The point is, there's a tool for every job, and there's a tool in God's hands that He expects to use to do the work. And that is His church. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Today I'd like to challenge you to think of the church of God as a tool in His hands. It is a job that needs to be done, and God is preparing His church to do that job. Not just in the world tomorrow after Christ's return, but in the world today. There is a job to be done. Remember Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. Christ, just before He ascends to heaven, gives the apostles their job. Tells them what the church is for. Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So He's, in essence, reminding them that He has the authority. And now He's giving them their marching orders. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We explained to the students recently, why is it listed Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? We don't believe in a Trinity. Some people turn to this scripture and say, see, there's evidence of the Trinity. Why are we baptized in the name of the Father? Well, because He's the Father. He is our Father. Why are we baptized in the name of the Son? Well, because without the Son, we would not be able to have a relationship with the Father. Without this forgiveness of of sins available through Christ, we could not have any relationship with the Father at all. And why are we baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit? Because that's how we're connected to God. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be connected to our Father. It's how Christ and God are connected to each other. So we're baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit because we need God's Holy Spirit to be connected to God, not because it's a person. But he says, go and make disciples. How are we to do that? Well, we'll do that in two ways. We'll do that individually, and we'll do that corporately, we might say. And we'll talk more about that in a few moments. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I will help you in this responsibility. So we are to go and make disciples of all nations. What do we teach them? It says, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Turn back a few pages to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. In verse 14. What did Christ teach when he first began his ministry? It said he came forth preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And here in Matthew 24, it says this, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached or will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. God desires his church to be a tool of preaching the gospel to the world. That's the job of the church. We love being together, but this is not a social event. This is not a social club. It's not like the Eagles or the Moose or the, you name it, the JCs. I mean, all kinds of different organizations are social clubs to accomplish various things. The Church of God is not a social club. It is an organ. It's a tool in God's hands to preach the gospel to the world. We are called to preach the gospel to the world. Sometimes, when that's not at the forefront of our mind, we can lose some of our insight in that regard of why we exist, what the purpose of the church is. So what we'd like to do, we are reaching a major milestone in the Church of God today, and that is the time to build a facility for the purpose of enhancing our ability to preach the gospel to the world. And so what we're going to do, as I said, a bit on an unusual circumstance for us today, we're going to pause here and play the most recent In Accord. Some of you have seen it, some of you have not seen it yet. But Mr. Franks goes on to describe the new headquarters building that is being constructed now, or at least construction has begun, in the Dallas area, in McKinney, Texas, just north and a little bit east of Dallas. But what I'd like to do as you view this is remember that this is the tool in God's hands so that his church might better preach the gospel to the world. So after this video is shown, I'll come back up. We'll go over a number of scriptures to wrap up the concept, to put in our mind the church is a tool for the preaching of the gospel. So Mr. Bond, how about if we go ahead and start that?
Welcome to this edition of In Accord. I have some really exciting news for you today, and I have a special treat for you. You see, this past week we reached quite a milestone in the relatively short history of the Church of God, a worldwide association. We've now broken ground on the construction of our new office building. So today I want to show you two short videos. Now, the first video was taken last Thursday, January the 18th. You see, we decided it would be a good thing to do a video of the property before any construction took place, And then over the next several weeks, you can see the comparison to when there was nothing on the land to when actually a building begins to take shape. So last week, a group of us went out to the property, and we did a walking tour of the property. And I'd like to show you some excerpts from that video here in this edition of In Accord. I think you will enjoy it. You'll hear some commentary where I'll be giving an update, as well as giving information about the property, as well as the surrounding properties, to give you a feel for the property on which we are constructing the new office building. So let's go ahead and go to the video, and I'll show you a few excerpts from what we did last Thursday, January the 18th. We purchased this property back in July of this last year, and this is the property we're planning to build what will become our headquarters for the Church of God, a worldwide association. We're really excited about it. We really believe this is going to be a big step forward for the church and have this opportunity to actually have our own building. But before I talk about this piece of property, I'd like to point you across the street here to a large piece of property that's actually open, empty property. Well, this piece of property across the way, across Medical Center Drive, is actually owned by the City of McKinney. And the City of McKinney has a project or a development they're calling Southgate Development. And on this piece of property, they have about 37 acres that are open. And they're going to develop corporate headquarters, office buildings, restaurants, retail outlets, and many different things across there. They even have plans for a couple of acres in the middle that'll become an entertainment area where it'll be for open-air concerts. So we're really excited about that. Currently, that section of land over there contains four pieces of property that are already there. They're already up and operating. On the southeast corner, we have the Collin County Community College Administration Building, a very beautiful building. On the southwest side, we have the Sheraton Hotel that we've used many times in the past for ministerial activities. And then on the northeast side, we have Emerson, their corporate headquarters, a very nice building there. And then on the northwest side, we have Town Place Suites, a Marriott property that sort of anchors this whole area. So if you can imagine, and we've actually seen pictures and drawings of what the city envisions over here, it's going to be quite a development. And we've been very excited about that because of all that development, we've seen the property values in this area go up considerably. But now let's talk about this piece of property. There's 7.4 acres in this piece of property. It runs approximately 400 feet along Medical Center Drive. And this 1,400 feet along Medical Center Drive, as you can tell, it's much longer than it is wide. In fact, it's less than 300 feet wide and approximately 1,400 feet long. Again, that makes for quite a nice piece of property for us with a lot of potential for development. But let me talk about the building itself. The building is going to be located just over to my left. And we're actually standing in the northwest corner of the building of what will be there. One of the reasons we're doing this tour today is because in a few days, we anticipate it's going to change quite a bit as we begin construction. And so this building is going to become, or this northwest corner is going to actually be the entrance to the building. And we're very, very excited about that. It's going to be a very nice entrance. The building is approximately 16,000 square feet. It's a one-story building, but in the corner, it's actually going to be two stories in height. And the entrance is going to be very nice. It'll actually have seven pillars, or they're calling them fins. These fins are actually covered by a black tile, but it appears as marble. It's a very, very nice entryway. A lot of glass, and we're very happy about that as well. Now, before I go any further, I want to introduce as well the individuals that are here with me. I have William Beach, who is the Director of Web Management for the church. Britton Taylor is the Treasurer for the church. And Clyde Kylo is the Operation Manager for Media. The four of us, along with Nancy Dubik, who is an interior designer and a member of the local Dallas church, and also Doug Horchak, the Operation Manager for Ministerial Services. The two of them, plus the four of us, compose what we're calling the Building Committee for the church. And it's our responsibility to make the decisions along the way, the design of the building, and then of course as we actually begin the construction of the building, to be working with that as well. So we're very, very happy that we've got the building about ready to get started, at least the construction is about ready to begin. But this is the where the building will be located. The building is approximately 175 feet in length. You have to imagine an L-shaped building, 175 feet in length going going north and south, and about 148 feet going east and west. Now we're going to walk over to the east side of the property, and we'll take a look over there. There's actually a golf course now, but we're going to go over there and take a look at what we have going there and the perspective of the north and south and east and west of the property. We've now arrived on the east side of the property. We walked about 300 feet from where we were on the west side, and now we're actually looking at sort of the back side of the building over here. We're going to have a nice courtyard area, patio behind the building, in that L area where we can have receptions, where we can have just all kinds of activities back here. We think that'll be very, very nice, secluded, and just a good place where we can do things like that. If you go to the far north of the property, that's the area that we have planned for in the future, not any time in the immediate future, but we hope to build an auditorium or an educational center, probably one building that will serve as both up on the north side, and then we'll have parking area in between. Now that's not anytime soon, but at some point in the future we want to consider doing that. So we're really excited about that. We believe this property gives us a lot for the future. It gives us a hope and a plan for the future that we're really excited about. So the gentlemen that are here with me, I've mentioned to them that maybe they could make a few comments about the property. I want to turn to Mr. Kylo. He's actually the one that found the property, and we're very excited about it. He was excited to tell us about it. We're very happy it worked out. Mr. Kylo, your comments.
Well, it was very interesting as we were scouring this area looking for property, and our agent working for us at one point told us, just drive around and see if you see any empty pieces of property and I can inquire. And so that's what we all were doing, driving around at different times as we were on our way to and from work, is how we came across this. And at the time that we initiated the steps to buy this, we did not really think about and did not anticipate the development on the other side of the highway. But since that's going to be one of the major development in McKinney, it will be interesting to see how that affects us, because we will be in the very middle of some of the most robust economic and social and entertainment and business areas of the entire region. So who knows how that will turn out for us.
Now to give us a few comments on the property here and talk a little bit about the resources we have and the finances, I have Mr. Taylor.
I'd like to say how excited all of us are, or we are, to be able to have this piece of property. We do thank God led us to it. It's really a very nice piece and location that I think will serve us very well. Financially, I do believe we've been in very good shape because of God's blessings and the faithful tithes and offerings from the membership of the church. I think going forward, we'll be able to make our commitment here relatively easily. All of us are very excited and can't wait to see them break ground.
And we have William Beach here as well, who's done probably more than anyone has when it comes to drawing the different permutations of the building and where it's going to fit on the property. And I'd like for him to make a few comments as well.
Well, it's been excellent experience being a part of the team and working with everyone. Number one, Mr. Cattle found the land, and then we had to decide on what type of building to build, and we've gone through, as Mr. Frank said, probably 25 different versions to get to the version that would fit on the property, locate properly, get all the offices that we need and the space we needed, and then work with the architects and the builders to come up with a plan of how to build within the budget. But it's been great to be here, great to be a part of the project, and I look forward to the completion of this happening.
Well, as I said, we're all very excited to get started. We actually have the groundbreaking ceremony scheduled for Monday, January the 22nd. We're looking forward to that. We wanted to do this today because in the next few days, we expect a lot of things to change here. We wanted you to see what the property looked like. So I hope you enjoyed it. And again, we thank you for your support and your help.
Well, I hope you enjoyed seeing the property, before any construction took place. That gave you an opportunity to see the value of the property, the location of the property, and our plans for the property going forward. But now this past Monday, January the 22nd, was another milestone, and really it was the milestone event. After 3 years of working and planning and searching, we actually began construction. We broke ground on Monday, January the 22nd, for the new building. In order to honor that occasion, we thought it would be fitting to have a formal ceremony for groundbreaking. So on Monday, we had all the students, we had the staff from the office, and a few members from the local Dallas congregation gathered on the property. There were about 60 of us there, and we had an opportunity to have a formal presentation about the groundbreaking. We had a couple of the individuals from Highland Construction, as well as our project manager from CBRE were present, and I made a few comments. We concluded those comments with a prayer, and then we actually took some staged pictures. We have pictures of everyone standing at what will be the entrance to the new building, and what we hope to do is then when the building is done to bring everybody back and have another picture with the building behind us. So we're excited about that. But I thought it would be good if you heard some of the excerpts from what I had to say at the groundbreaking and saw some of the pictures from the groundbreaking itself. So now I'd like to show you another short video. These are some excerpts from the groundbreaking ceremony held on the afternoon of January the 22nd on the property. So take a look at this. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope all of you can hear me. We thought it'd be a little nicer down here out of the wind than up on the hill, so hopefully you appreciate that. I do. Hopefully you do as well. First, I want to introduce a couple of individuals here that are certainly very involved in this project, have been for some time. First of all, we have our project manager, Kyle Russell, who's over here with his hard hat in his hand. That doesn't do you any good in your hand there, Kyle. He's our project manager from CBRE. And then we also have Kelly Bradbury here, who's the superintendent. He'll be here all the time. He'll live here, and he'll be the one to see this project through to its completion. He's from Highland Builders, and we're very, very happy. Highland has certainly worked with us very well, and we're looking forward to a good relationship going forward and completing this project. He said it'd be done in about a month, and yeah, so we'll hold him to that and prepare to move in the spring. Before we do any more, I'd like to sort of chart out the course of how we've arrived here. I was actually surprised myself when I checked. I wanted to confirm all the dates, that it's been 3 years since we started this project. It was in the spring of 2015 that we organized the first committee to search for land or a building in the Plano, McKinney, Allen area. Then a year later, approximately a year later, in April of 2016, we entered into a contract with CBRE, and they began searching for property for us as well. And in December of 2016, we actually found this property, and in January we put in a letter of intent to buy this particular property, 7.4 acres here in the city of McKinney. Then in July of last year, 2017, we actually purchased this property. So we became the owners of the property at that time. Then in August of 2017, we didn't know all of this was happening. The city announced what they call the Southgate Project. If you look at the empty property across, it's 37 acres that the city plans to build something like Waters Crossing. It'll be office buildings, it'll be entertainment, it'll be restaurants, retail shops, and all of that is being planned. So that was announced in August as the Southgate Project. Prior to that, it was called the Gateway Project before that. So it's been around for a while, but now they seem to be serious about developing it. Well, in the last year, the property we purchased has tripled in value, this property here. People are speculating on what the city's going to do there, and as well as other things going on in McKinney. It's really a very hot market right now. So the property value approximately tripled since we actually bought the property. So we're very, very happy with that. It's been a lot of activity going on. So this brings us to today, which is now almost 3 years since we started. So today is a milestone that we wanted to get on video. We wanted to have all of you here since you're all going to be a part of it, and to be able to participate in a milestone in the church. We've been going for 7 years now, Church of God, a worldwide association. We didn't quite think we'd be at this point in 7 years, but here we are. And we're very happy happy about it. We're very pleased with what's happened, the way things have come together now, and now we're ready to start construction. And you see all the fencing around, and they're ready to start construction very, very soon, and we'll be able to watch it as it comes into being. So we're very happy about that. One thing that we believe we've seen all along in this process has been God's hand. We've sought that all along, the way things have come together. And so here today we want to have a short prayer, asking God for his blessing on the project. And then we're going to walk up the hill and we're going to take pictures. The first picture will be with everyone that's here. The next picture will be with the staff. And then the third picture will be with the FI students. And then we're going to do one with our building committee and Kyle and Kelly. So we can get that a picture as well. We want it right at the entrance to the building. So it's kind of up on the hill there. And then we'll be able to get a before when there's nothing behind us. And then we'll be able to get the building behind us as well as we get it done. So if you'll all bow your heads, I'm going to ask for God's blessing on this project. And then we'll be ready to get started. Our Father in heaven, Almighty God, we bow our heads before you this afternoon. Father, we thank you for all things, and we certainly thank you for this opportunity today. Eternal God, we certainly tried our best to serve you and to please you. We will continue to do that. And Father, we believe we've measured and we've considered and we've thought about this. We've worked on it. We've planned on it. And certainly we believe you've opened doors for us, and we thank you for that. So here we are this afternoon as we begin this project, the actual construction. We pray for your presence involved in all of those who will be a part of this project, all of those who will work on the project, and that you'll help us and guide us and direct us. Give us the right decisions as we go along. Help us, Father in heaven, to do it according to your will and to your glory. We know it's just an office building, but Father in heaven, we believe it'll be a tool for furthering your work, for preaching the gospel to the world, and for caring for your people around the world. So we thank you for that. We thank you for this opportunity, and we put this project into your hands. And we ask it all in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Well, I really hope you enjoyed the walking tour of the property with no construction going on, and then also the ceremony for the groundbreaking. You know, as I said, this is a historic moment for the church. It's certainly a time that we look forward to. We've been working on this for 3 years, as I mentioned, in the groundbreaking ceremony. And finally, we have arrived, beginning in the spring of 2015, and here we are in January of 2018. You know, we feel very privileged. We believe God has opened doors for us. We believe God has been with us, certainly to this point. And we want him to continue to be with us. Before I conclude today, I'd like to read a scripture to you, actually a couple of verses that you're all very familiar with. These two verses are found in Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. And as I said, you're familiar with this, but I believe it's appropriate as we begin this building project to actually refer to these two scriptures. So let me go ahead and read them to you. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives to his beloved sleep. Now, there are a couple of things about these two verses that I want to bring out before I finish this edition of In Accord. You know, the most obvious thing is that you want God involved in any building project you start. And that's where we begin with. We're asking God to be involved. We're praying that he will help us and guide us along the way. You know, we're a small church, but who's to say we can't do great things? This is a building. It's an office building. It's not a sanctuary. It's not a temple. We're building it to be more efficient in preaching the gospel to the world and in caring for God's people. And we believe with this building as a tool, we'll be able to do that. But we hope it'll be, we pray that it will be a tool in God's hands, something that he will use, and of course using us in that case as well. The other side of this is that the reference here to staying up late or rising early and worrying about what's going to happen in a project like this. You know, I have to admit that every building project I've been involved with, there have been moments of anxiety and worry. But you know, if you turn it over to God and you do everything you possibly can, you get all the advice, you seek wisdom, you seek God's direction, and you make the very best decisions you can, then you can put it into God's hands and trust that God will take care of it. And that's really our goal with this building, is to have God's involvement from the beginning all the way to the completion, and then to have God involved in the work that'll be done beyond that.
And that's really what we're striving for. And we appreciate your help, your support, your prayers, and your love. They all really mean a lot to us here in the office. And we certainly pray that that would continue as we go through this project. Please keep in mind that every Friday we'll be publishing an update on the building. You simply go to the members' webpage and you'll find a page for updates on the building construction. And we'll be updating it on a weekly basis. Some weeks there may not be a lot to report, but other weeks we think there will be a lot to report as this project continues to its completion. Well, that will do it from here for now. I hope you've enjoyed watching the videos. I hope you are appreciative and excited as we are about this building actually beginning to take shape. Next week, Mr. Horchak will be here, and he'll be giving an update on his trip to Ghana recently. And I know you will enjoy hearing from him as well. And then I'll be back in a couple of weeks myself. But please enjoy the Sabbath. Have a restful and peaceful Sabbath. Please continue to pray for us. Please, I thank you again for your support and your help in all that we're doing. And I believe God will yet do something with this, with not only a building project, but also with all of us as we strive to please Him. So until I see you again, until I'm here on In Accord again, I'll simply say for now, goodbye.
Thank you, Mr. Bond. Well, brother, again, an unusual thing in one sense to show that during a sermon time slot, but really want you to be a part of this whole project, and I think that's why Mr. Franks is taking the time that he is to be sure that you're aware of all that's going on and to get to take a look at the property there. One thing you probably noticed immediately, in Texas, the grass in the winter is completely brown. What always amazes me here, you can dig up the snow in the backyard and there's green grass under the snow. It doesn't happen that way in Texas. It's just dead as a doornail, but then somehow it all comes back. So you probably notice the very brown look to everything right now. But we are, brethren, a part of the Church of God. We are designed as a tool in God's hands to do the work. This major project is simply one more step in striving to do the work. It's not to provide luxury offices for certain individuals. It's simply a tool to get the job done. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 23. We hope that you will personally attach to this project as well. Be praying for it. We've been told that the contract contains a 200-day clause. In other words, the building has to be done in 200 days, or there are penalties for the builder, obviously financial penalties. So they were going to be motivated, obviously, to finish it. And yet 200 days takes us, if we do 200 actual days, we come up to August the 10th, I think it was, 9th or 10th, something like that. The new school year for FI orientation is supposed to take place on August the 12th. But these are 200 working days, so that puts us into September that way. So if you wouldn't mind praying for extremely efficient workers, excellent weather to be able to do the construction, things may go a little bit more quickly than we anticipate. But would appreciate your prayers that way. But just a reminder here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 23, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow great honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty." What is he telling us? Continue on, "But our presentable parts have no need. God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks us." There, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. What are we drawing at here? As Mr. Franks mentioned, our opportunity is to have a tool to preach the gospel to the world. At the same time, we have an opportunity to have a facility that should help us to be better able to care for the members of the body. About half of our church body lives outside the United States. and to be able to serve and help them, to have a training facility where we can bring those from out of the United States here to train them so that they can better serve the brethren and preach the gospel in their areas is an important aspect as well. So it's not just a matter of things happening out there in Texas, but it's also a matter of this will be a better service to the body of Christ as we care for each other. So as we've always known, that commission really is a dual commission. It's to preach the gospel of the world, and it's to care for the flock. It's to teach the brethren, as well as those coming into the church, the truth of God to the best of our ability. So just remind ourselves, if we turn back to Matthew chapter 9, our primary responsibility as a tool in God's hands is to preach the gospel to the world. We do this following Christ's example. That was His focus. His focus was not on inwardly watching over ourselves, but outwardly preaching the gospel to the world, sharing the truth with others. Now we're told, we read earlier, it's as a witness to the world. We know that not a great deal may become converted, but we preach the gospel in anticipation that some will, and hopes that many will. Matthew chapter 9, in verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. So we understand the message we're to be teaching is the good news of the coming kingdom of God. That is our responsibility. And we hope and pray that this building is simply one more step in the opportunity to better do that job. So he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And brother, it doesn't take much time for any of us to survey the world to see that they are absolutely lost. We've mentioned at least one time before, the great opiate of the people today is distraction. You can be busy with everything out there in the world, be completely swallowed by it, and it's all of no eternal consequence. I mean, we spend hours on our computer looking at other people's lives, and you wonder, what spiritual value is there in that? And pretty much it's zero. Unless you're there making out your prayer list, and then you take that list and go pray for these people, you have just wasted so much time. So we have a responsibility to be that tool in God's hands where we are spiritually focused on the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And we do that primarily in two ways. And that's what we'll focus on for just a few moments. Turn with me to the book of Acts. We're going to go to Acts chapter 8. We have the responsibility, brethren, of preaching the gospel in two primary ways. And as we mentioned, those two ways are personally and corporately. Now you know, we all know, that you and I cannot preach the gospel to the world by ourselves. We need the corporate preaching of the gospel, we might say, to be able to go to the whole world. We might be able to deal with a few other people that we come in contact with, but we're not able to go to the world in that sense. Or we can do a video blog on Facebook or someplace like that and write a blog, and a few people may come in contact with it, but not the way we can do it when we combine our efforts into the corporate preaching of the gospel. So Acts chapter 8 shows us both the individual responsibility that we have to preach the gospel through our example and through our personal opportunity, and the corporate preaching of the gospel that we all contribute to and join together to be able to do. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, we have some of the very earliest history of the New Testament church. It says, Saul was consenting to his death, meaning what went on in chapter 7, the death of Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So you remember the circumstance, the church was primarily in Jerusalem. This persecution takes place and everybody scatters. And what do they do when they scatter? It says, verse 2, devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. So when people fled, verse 4, what did they do? Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. Now again, sometimes we see the word preaching and we get a bit uncomfortable with it because we get this picture in our mind of a religious kook, a religious nut, grabbing every person they can and asking them if they love Jesus, if they know the Lord, if they've been saved, or things like that. That's not what was going on here. When it says the members, all those people from the church in Jerusalem, as they're fleeing out of the area and going out, it says they are preaching. Preaching what? Preaching the word. Well, the word preaching here is the Greek word euangelizo, and it means simply to talk about. They're not out grabbing people, but as they flee to an area and they take up residence, their neighbor's going to ask, well, where are you from? Well, I'm from Jerusalem. Well, why are you coming here? Well, they told them why they were coming here. Well, our Savior, the Messiah, was recently murdered. And now there are religious leaders among the Jews who are persecuting us. They're actually throwing some of us in prison. Well, why would they do that? Well, it's because of what we believe. Well, what do you believe? And they would tell them, we have a responsibility individually and personally to tell people what we know when it comes up. That's our responsibility. It's the personal responsibility to preach the gospel to the world. When it comes up, we have the opportunity and the responsibility to tell them. Why aren't you working on Saturday? How come you always get every Saturday off? Well, because it's the Sabbath. I keep the Sabbath holy, and so I don't work on Saturdays. Well, how do you get it off and I don't? Well, because I worship on Saturday. I keep the Sabbath. God bless us. If you want to come to church, come on. Happy to have you. Now, those things rarely, if ever, happen. But when we have the opportunity, we have to tell others the truth in the same way these individuals did when they were scattered. Then, verse 5, it tells us the corporate responsibility. The corporate, the public preaching of the gospel is done by those ordained individuals that God calls to that responsibility. So verse 5, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now the word preached there is a very different word than in verse 4. The word preached in the Greek here is keruso. Keruso means a public proclamation. It's like the town crier who would stand in the square in medieval England and unroll the scroll and say, hear ye, the king has proclaimed. And he goes on to read the public announcement. So we have the ordained individuals doing the public proclamation of the gospel, the corporate preaching, we might say, and we have all of the members, all of us as individuals, doing the personal, the individual opportunity to preach the gospel. So in those two ways, the church has the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the world. So we all combine our resources by giving our tithe to where we feel God is doing the work, so that things like this building and all the things that will be in it can be used for the corporate preaching of the gospel by those individuals that God has called to that responsibility. So, what is our responsibility in the meantime? Well, obviously, we want to be certainly full of understanding of God's way of life so that when we have the opportunity to preach the gospel, to teach the truth, we will be ready to do so. Notice the way Paul comments on this. Now, again, this is the corporate preaching of the gospel, but 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. But brethren, I believe this is an exciting time to be a part of the work of God. There have been a couple decades of trouble, I think, in the church of God. And all of you have been through much of that time. Believe we're we're turning the quarter to enter a time that the gospel is going to go out in a much more powerful way than it has. And that's God's doing. It's not our doing. It's not something we figure out. It's God opening doors and providing blessings to be able to do that. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. Paul says this, "For if I preach the gospel," and again, that's that word keruso, "if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." For Paul, it was this burning desire and responsibility to help others and teach them the truth. There was no embarrassment as far as he was concerned. This is what we need to do to help others. Verse 17, "For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I've been entrusted with a stewardship." In other words, I've got a job that I've been commissioned to do. You've been called to the truth. You have a job to do. To publicly and personally preach the gospel as we have the opportunity. Tell others about the truth. Why you're happy. Why your life is the way it is. It's because of the truth you understand. Verse 18, he says, "What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel." Paul simply wanted to share the truth. He didn't want to charge for it. The Church of God has never charged to teach people the truth. This is the way it is. We give freely because we've been given to. So our responsibility is to learn the truth and have that opportunity, take that opportunity when God provides it to us to share the truth with others. Then our other responsibility is in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'd like to read with you verses 2 through 4. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 2 through 4. Maybe we'll read in verse 1 to pick up the context there. "But I want you to know that a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and as for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Paul's just saying, my heart's kind of broken because I haven't seen you in a long time, haven't been there, either there or in Laodicea. Verse 2, "that their hearts may be encouraged." This is one of the reasons men like Mr. Franks or Mr. Horchak take the time and put their bodies through the punishment of going overseas and traveling to very remote areas, because they understand the heart of the brethren is so encouraged when somebody like that comes to visit. "That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding." Paul says, I know how encouraging it is when I come. I just can't be there for right now. Verse 2, "to the knowledge," middle of verse 2, "to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom," verse 3, "are hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge." And then he says this in verse 4, "Now this I say, lest any should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ." We have this responsibility, brethren, to pray for open doors, for the work, so that those who could be with us can do so. As we have opportunity to project these kinds of things, then we can literally be a part of the work on a very, very direct basis. And that is so extremely encouraging when we can do that, to literally be a part of the work. If we look back in chapter 1, notice what Paul says in verse 2, "to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always." And I guarantee, brethren, the leadership of the Church of God is praying for you on a regular basis. The job of getting this building done, for example, is for the church as a whole. It's not for any one particular individual or group of individuals. It's to do the job better. Verse 4, it says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints." So they understand. Paul understood the role of the brethren. As Mr. Armstrong used to say many years ago, the work of God could not go forward if God has not called faithful brethren to do the job. And again, those that headquarters, I believe, have been very careful in administering funds so that we can build this building with what we already have. And that's just really a tremendous thing. Rarely in the Church of God has that ever been the case. So it's great to see that kind of financial responsibility being taken care of. It's really wonderful to see that. So we want to be praying for open doors to be able to preach the gospel, to teach the truth to others. In verse 8, for this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So brethren, we have that responsibility to be right examples of God's way of life. So we have to ask ourselves at this point, as we wrap this up, do we still have the passion for preaching the gospel that we once did? Have our lives become small, focused primarily on our own interests and needs, maybe our own situation? The preaching of the gospel will go on, but we want to be sure that we are a part of it. To do the things that we've been prepared to do. I'd like to close by reading Esther chapter 4 in verse 14. Esther chapter 4 in verse 14. I think it's a scripture you're familiar with, but I think it's a time to read it again. We must take what we have learned in the scripture and share it with others as we have the opportunity and the responsibility. We've been called to be witnesses to this way of life. Witnesses to what the future holds. An open door is available to us through the internet to take the gospel to the world. This building will hopefully help us in that responsibility of caring for God's people around the world, as well as preaching the gospel in a very public manner. So we want to take what we've been given with passion and with compassion and see what God will accomplish through His people. Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. It's what Mordecai said to Esther when he was in essence asking her to stand up, to take responsibility. He said to her, "For if you altogether hold your peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." New King James says, "If you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish." And then he says this, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" God has called us into His church at the time that He deems best. And is it possible that we've been gathering veterans of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years to prepare us for a time of preaching the gospel in power and in strength that we have not yet seen? I hope that's the case, brethren. Have we been prepared for this time? Let's stand strong. Let's re-envision the future of the Church of God and get busy with the work that He's given us.